Well, let's find out a little bit more about the change in legislation, what it means, and whether we should perhaps be considering the same here. Eddie Jacobs is the science officer at the Beckley Foundation, which is a drug research think tank. Eddie, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So, look, there are lots of things that we can make comments about in respect of whether it's the social impact, the health impact. Little is known, perhaps, about some aspects of it, but there are also discussions about the medical, perhaps, benefits of cannabis. All of that discussion has been going on for ever and a day. Meanwhile, Canada has become the first industrialised nation to legalise recreational cannabis. What does this mean for the rest of the world?
Yeah, it's very interesting you say that it's the first industrialized nation. So, I mean, Uruguay legalized recreational cannabis in 2014. But, of course, I think people are going to be paying attention more to Canada. I think the eyes of the world, especially the Western world, will be looking to Canada just to see how this plays out. As we've seen in the various states in the U.S. That have legalized recreational cannabis, there's been a huge bump to tax revenues. And I think certainly in the UK, that might be an attractive prospect. So the black market for recreational cannabis in the UK is something like 230 tonnes or £2.6 billion every year. And I think that's an attractive proposition for the government, certainly.
I mean, what I don't understand is the genie is out of the bottle, that as soon as you see changes in legislation, and I think we started here in the UK when cannabis was downgraded as a drug, and then they've sort of upgraded it since. And there's this sort of strange sort of moral code that seems to come out of some politicians, and they're trying to sort of moralise in a way that is no longer appropriate for society. Society has moved on, and I think society can make up its own mind as to whether or not these things are healthy. In the same way that we've seen smoking has come down significantly. On occasion, I used to smoke. I certainly don't anymore. It's gone. It's done. It's finished. Because the health message was made very clearly. And okay, it took a while. And if you are addicted in some shape or form, whatever addiction you may have, it takes a while to get rid of it. We have many people who will drink and use alcohol responsibly. We have many people who don't. But it's through the health benefits and understanding and education that you presumably get people to behave properly with it. It must be the same with cannabis.
Yes, absolutely. So there are a lot of people agitating for reform of cannabis. And I think that I don't think anyone really says that cannabis doesn't have health risks associated with it. I mean, all drug use has health risks associated with it. You're right in talking about how smoking has come down since there's been quite a concerted effort to make sure that everyone knows what the risks involved are. One of the common arguments we get in opposition to the legalization of cannabis is that it would be sending the wrong message on health from the government. And I think that's clearly not true when you think about, well, tobacco is legal. Tobacco, the sale of tobacco is regulated by the government. But no one thinks that tobacco is good for you. No one thinks that the government thinks you should smoke. Likewise with cannabis.
Let's talk a little bit about what your think tank does. So the Beckley Foundation. What are you pushing for? Are you pushing for greater information, or are you do you have an agenda to see it legalised in the UK?
So as well as undertaking scientific research with psychoactive compounds, we coordinate lots of promising health research with psychedelics. Our director, Amanda, and the Beckley Foundation, ultimately we are agitating for regulation on the basis of the evidence that's available. And I think one thing that unites most of the NGOs agitating for reform is that currently drug policy doesn't really seem to be responsive to the evidence. So prohibition, it's been going on for 50 years now, and drug markets are bigger than ever before. It's quite clear that what we're doing now doesn't work. If you look to, say, Portugal, which in 2001 made a radical decision to decriminalise all drug use, what you've seen is a decrease in drug-related harms, drug-related deaths, and nothing like what opponents said, that it would lead to a rampant increase in drug use. No, the best figures on drug use have decreased in Portugal since 2001.
I'm assuming that as a foundation that undertakes this kind of research, are you able to get special dispensation either to grow this particular stuff or to use psychedelics? Because you can't test them unless you can test them.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we do our research with academic partners like Imperial College London, obviously, we can't just buy some LSD off the street, nor would we want to. We have quite expensive licenses, quite onerous regulatory requirements that we have to go through via the Home Office, which is actually really slowing down this quite legitimate and promising research into the health benefits of these drugs.
And isn't part of the problem that on our streets, if you do buy, I don't know, whatever it is that you buy, you have no idea what it is. You have no idea what it may therefore do to you, because as a result of purchasing it, you think it's one thing. You think you understand the benefits or the dangers of it, but you have absolutely no idea what the stuff is.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one key message, really, is that regardless of the health risks associated with any drug, no drug is made safer under a system of prohibition. You may have seen in the news a couple of weeks ago that in Iran, where alcohol is prohibited, there was a bad batch of alcohol that got into circulation because despite prohibition of alcohol, people still drink alcohol. There were 40 deaths, 100 people hospitalized, having to go on dialysis. Several people were blinded permanently because of this. This is alcohol, which we associate as being reasonably safe, like socially acceptable, but put it into a system of prohibition and there's no government oversight into the production of this drug. And so people who consume it have no idea what they're taking. Likewise with drugs in the UK, certainly cocaine and MDMA, cannabis as well. When there isn't any oversight and regulation, you don't know what you're taking.
Let me ask you, Eddie, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. Cannabis, have you tried it?
Long ago I've tried it, yes.
And as part of your research, presumably you have to have people who do try it.
So, yes, when we're focusing on the research of, say, the health benefits of cannabis, like the only way to do that is to have cannabis. There are interesting differences in physiological responses to people who are standard users and people who are naive to the drug.
And in terms of that message getting out there, because, look, I think we're all adults. We can make up our own minds. This is not necessarily a route that I would wish to go down, I have to say, in terms of my personal use. I would say alcohol, having given up smoking a while ago, you know, I'm not interested in that. But I am interested in alcohol. I'd be very upset if anybody tried to legislate against that. But I don't particularly want to see drugs decriminalised for my own use because I probably wouldn't use them. But I do want to see some change. What change do you think we need to adopt here in the UK, both for the nation's health, but also perhaps for business and for tax revenue?
So certainly the best move that we could make that's very readily available to us is the decriminalisation of all drugs. So there isn't so much support for this in the country as a whole. If you look at the people who have to deal with the consequences of problematic drug use, so the Royal Society for Public Health, the Police Federation, the Royal College of Physicians, the British Medical Journal, lots of societies with this who actually see the problems associated with drug use, recognise that our current policy of prohibition isn't helping people. So when you criminalise drug use, it's also stigmatising drug use as well. And by treating addiction as a health problem rather than a crime, you see great improvements to the situation. Looking to Portugal, that's what you see. In terms of the business prospects, legalization and regulation would be a huge boon, both to government coffers and to business.
No, there we go. We must leave it there. But thank you very much indeed for giving us your thoughts.